Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to everybody watching with us today. Wow, so much has been going on the past month. We have been gone in a mission trip in Asia to Thailand and India. I wrote a letter about that yesterday. Amazing trip and a lot of good things happening, but we do have to be praying for our brethren there, particularly in India with the persecution going on. But as we were leaving, actually right before we were leaving, just a day or two before, war broke out. You know, we know the war that's going on now, the war between the United States and Israel and Iran. And it was very interesting because most of the flights, you know, going east were canceled. You know, going anywhere from the Middle East, going even as far as Thailand and India and all those places, because thousands of people were stranded. And it's really interesting because of a situation that happened a couple of years ago that I'm not going to get into now. I try not to fly through the Arab countries like Arab Emirates and Dubai and those areas over there. And that's where most of the hubs are, to be honest, going over to Asia. Most of our brethren coming over for the feast, whether it was in Israel and now in Jordan, they go through those hubs. But I had a problem there a couple of years ago, so I try to avoid it. And Yahweh inspired where I had to go all the way back to Europe and through Europe coming there. And if I didn't do that, the mission trip would have been canceled because all the flights. And the interesting part was when I was in the airport, we were waiting, you know, and praying to make sure our flight was going to leave. We saw after our flight, I saw the whole board was just red. Everything was canceled. The airport actually closed from that point. So we were really the last flight that got out of there and wound up getting over to Thailand and had a wonderful time. And like I said, I don't have time to get into all that today, but it was a great trip. And we do want to ask your prayers for what's going on over, especially India. But I want to talk today because, like I said, I've been away. I wrote one update about the miracle that happened and the healings that happened in Thailand. But I really want to talk today because what's happening today is prophetic. I hope you understand that, and I pray you do after this is over, because Yahweh even names in the Bible, as we're going to see, what's happening right now in the Middle East. The name of it is even there, we're going to see. So I want to start in Daniel 4, verse 28, and it says, "And this came on the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon." It's kind of interesting because President Trump has been in office now just a little more than 12 months here in his second term. "And the king spoke and said, 'Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?'" And I mean, again, you could put it in here, President Trump's name, and nobody would deny it because he's saying the same thing. Everything is how great he is, all these wonderful things he did. And the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, the king of Babylon, and the spirit of President Trump, the end time king of Babylon, which is just amazing. Because at least in modern history, I mean, we read things about people like Nero and some of these, you know, Caesars in the past. So we have no idea. I know some of these men were really, really evil. But in modern times, as far as a narcissist, I don't think anyone can doubt that there has not been, at least in the last 100 years, one like President Trump. And we see it here. And he says, "The word was still in the king's mouth when a voice fell from the heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared the kingdom has been taken from you.'" So, I've been saying since President Trump got in there, wow, if as far as Babylon falling, there wouldn't be a more fitting person to be the king of Babylon at that time than President Trump. Whether Babylon will completely fall during his reign is in Yahweh's hands. I don't know. I'm not predicting that. I have no idea. In the end time, what we see is everything has to be according to Yahweh's will. But boy, would it fit. Boy, would it fit. And as things are happening, I do want to show you what is happening now is not only prophesied, but it is setting up for what's coming. And I said this before, I've been saying it for the last few months, that I believe 2026 is a pivot year. You know, it's a transitional year. And while we're seeing it now, it's not the year where, you know, the end time is going to come, and it's not the year where Yeshua is going to return or any of these things, but it is a pivot year. It's moving to those things And this war is a big part of that, as I'm going to explain today. It's not just another police action, you know, or like President Trump said recently, just a detraction. No, this is something that is biblical, and this is something that is without a shadow of a doubt leading to the demise of America. And many, many analysts are saying this. You know, President Trump thought he was going to go in there, I guess, like Venezuela, and just in a day or two, you know, annihilate them and, you know, bomb them, and then everyone was just going to follow him and listen, and it's not going that way whatsoever at all. During war, you don't want to really tell of your casualties. You don't want to make it sound like you're being hit. But I'm telling you with full certainty that the American bases in the Middle East have been hit really, really hard. All of the intelligence that America has had there that cost billions and billions of dollars has been destroyed. And in Israel, unfortunately, many, many military and civilian sites are being completely destroyed. Yesterday, actually, even at the Western Wall, a bomb hit over there. So there's every part of Israel that it's happening to. Praise Yahweh, at least there are not many casualties. Praise Yahweh for that. But Israel is being hit very hard. And they were hit hard in June. We were there. We saw a lot of it. We talked to people, and people were just, they were just war struck. They were tired. And now with this going on, and in the nights, you know, they're getting the sirens, 5, 6, which means they're not sleeping at night. You know, they're moving from their places. Missiles are being hit. A lot of things being destroyed. And now military things being destroyed. The gas hub in Haifa, you know, from the gas that comes out of the Mediterranean was hit, you know, 2 days ago. So, you know, Iran is not going down easy. And all of this is playing into it. I'm going to go now to Revelation 6. Because I kind of have a different viewpoint, a little bit of Revelation 6 than I did before. Not totally, but a little bit. Because I always believe Revelation 6 was talking about the anti-Messiah and the false peace that's coming. I still do believe that. I do believe that when the anti-Messiah comes, we'll see this in a different way. But I also believe that in type of what's been happening since President Trump got in his second election is part of this. Because the four horsemen of the apocalypse seem to be an end time thing that keeps reoccurring. You know, since 1945, we saw it. We saw false peace, we saw war, we saw famine, we saw pestilence. But as we get to the end, it's going to magnify. And these four horsemen, and then the fifth horseman, which will really show us the martyrism and the other things that are going to come from there. So it says, and I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures like a sound of thunder saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it had a bow, and crown was given to him, and he went out overcoming, and that he might overcome. So isn't it kind of interesting that in one sense, talking about peace, right? It's a white horse, and it's a crown given to him, right? So you're looking at, you know, somebody who's a leader, you know, a major leader, like a king with a crown. And it's a white horse, so it's showing like peace, like a white horse, but he has a bow in his hand. So it's almost like a fake peace. And if you look, the one thing that President Trump that has bothered him more than anything since he's been in office, and he's not shy to say it, is not getting the Nobel Peace Prize. And the last person that should get the Nobel Peace Prize is President Trump. He claims that he stopped 8 wars, which is a total, absolute lie. I mean, almost everything coming out of his mouth is a lie. You see a lot of, you know, almost every president, almost every, you know, press secretary, you've got to twist the truth to a degree to try to make it sound more positive than what it is. But in the case of President Trump, everything he says is just lies, and everybody knows it. And this is where it's coming back to bottom, because that's the problem with a liar. When you lie, it's always going to come back to get you. Like he said, he completely destroyed, in June last year, completely destroyed all of the nuclear site of Iran, completely devastated it, took it back to the Stone Age, completely gone. And what did he say now when the war started, that Iran was just days, if not weeks, away from a nuclear bomb. So where did that come from? You cannot believe anything coming out of the White House. Most news that's out there, you really have to go to are the news and people that are on the ground. Praise Yahweh, I have some good contacts around that I'm able to get some of the information. But This is what's happened, you know. So President Trump wanted to be the peacemaker. He wanted to get the Nobel Peace Prize. He wanted, and a matter of fact, even the lady that got it from Venezuela, he coerced her to give it to him. Well, you can't do that. You can't transfer it. In the record books, his name is not in there, and it never will be, because he's not looking for peace. And the interesting part of it is something has changed, because for 30 years, all he's talked about is not having frivolous wars in the Middle East. He's hit on President Bush 1 and 2, Clinton and Obama. That's all he's talked about, that we need to put America first. We need to be saving all this billions of dollars that are going out in these frivolous wars in the Middle East. So he's been saying that for 30 years, and something in the last year has changed since he's got in there. I believe personally that he's being blackmailed. There's a lot of good evidence to show that. And somehow Israel, that since 1948 and being a nation, has basically begged America during the 1973 Yom Kippur War. You know, they were begging President Nixon, you know, for weapons and to help them over there. You know, gold in my ear. And really, you know, Israel has always been in the backseat. America has been supportive of Israel, but they've never been really 100%, you know, but where now it's Israel running the show. And they've actually admitted that with this war, that it was Israel that said, look, we're doing this one way or another. And then America figured, well, if Israel does go to war, we're going to be attacked. We might as well go too. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. So President Trump has lost a lot of his base. And he's never had a 50% base. If you look, his base is around 35% on the good side for him. It doesn't change. Those people are solid, you know, MAGA people, but not anymore. His base is not even 35% anymore. His base is probably 20 to 25% maximum, if that. And those are probably only, you know, the rhinos, the people that are basically saying it in name only, you know, for different reasons. But he's lost a lot of it because the false peace claim. And it's really interesting because when he first came into office, the first couple of days that he was in office, he was having a meeting in the Oval Office there. And Kennedy was in there, Bobby Kennedy Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr., who was his health secretary. And he actually made the comment, you know, that President Trump, you know, has come in here on a white horse. So we're seeing this fulfilled. And again, I'm not negating the fact that in the long run, when the anti-Messiah comes, he's also going to make a false peace and he's going to bring this stuff about. But right now, as we're heading into the end time, wow, President Trump is fulfilling this scripture, at least in type, and we do know that war is going to come from here. If we go now to verse 3 through 8, and he opened the second seal, I heard the living creature saying, come and see. And another horse went out red, and it was given to the one sitting on it to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. So this is where peace is coming, or war is coming throughout the earth. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come and see. And I saw and looked up black horse, and the one sitting on it having a balance in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a denarius and three measures of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. And let me tell you something, I'm going to say it later again. As this war goes on every day this war goes on, the repercussions and the long-term problematic things are magnifying. Some of the installations that Iran has already hit, some of the oil installations, they said could take years to get back up. So the oil prices that we're already seeing way over $100 a barrel for Brent crude. But the one thing they're not really telling you with the closing of the Strait of Hormuz is the fertilizer. That's where most of the world's fertilizer comes from. And here we're going into the spring where most of the planting is happening. And if they can't get fertilizer, look out. And the little bit of fertilizer that they will get will be extremely expensive. We saw this happen when the Ukraine war broke out, right? Because they also get fertilizer in that region over there. And prices went through the roof. They really went through the roof. So when we're looking at the famine here, we're being set up. We were not in a good position now in the last couple of years, to be honest with you, with the way they used to have food that was stored and wheat that was stored. America does not have those kind of supplies anymore that they used to have. But if this continues here, the world is in trouble. They are really in trouble. So I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a denarius and three measures of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil in the wine, right? So we're seeing oil prices in the last couple of years since Shemitah. Praise Yahweh, we still have a fair amount of olive oil from before Shemitah that we were paying, you know, about $3.50 for a liter or a quart, that now is triple that. So we're already seeing those things that are raised. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see, and behold, a pale green horse, chlorophyll, right? Where you get the green in grass from. And the name of the one sitting on it was Death, and Hades followed after him, and authority was given to him to kill over a fourth of the earth with sword, with famine, with death, and wild beasts of the earth. So it's kind of interesting when you look at this, because of course, when you have war, you're going to have death, you're going to have famine, you're going to have pestilence, it's going to come. But because the world is so interconnected, it's never been like this before. And we have not had a major war, you know, world war, a major war, since the last, you know, let's say 25 to 30 years, when President Clinton signed NAFTA and GATT and all these international trading, you know, agreements, where now that you have all of the, it doesn't matter if a company is based in USA because they're making their things in Indonesia or making their things somewhere else, you know, in Philippines, wherever. So with these agreements now, everything is interconnected. All the food chain is interconnected. You're on real-time inventories. That is not really good. And without fertilizer and without oil, it's a disaster waiting to happen. We already seen prices going up, and every day this goes on, those prices are going to go more. And the fact of President Trump saying, oh, as soon as it's over, that, like, he's going to come out, now it's over, everyone go back to normal. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that one person just makes false claims and everyone's going to do it. He is losing his support through Europe. He is losing his support through most of the world right now with this stuff, what he's doing. And, you know, he's calling for other countries to come and help, which they're not. And then he's saying, we don't need you. He is really destroying America and bringing them down to a level that they have not been from before 1945, before this end time started. We'll talk a little bit more about that later as we get into these scriptures. But he is really, and again, I'm not trying to say Iran is going to win this war, because they can't. Militarily, Iran cannot win this war. I don't believe that in this particular war that Russia and China is going to come to their defense and fight, but that will be coming later, as I'm going to get into it, as we see what the scripture says. But Babylon is weakening themselves, and they are showing that they are not the big brute that they tried to make themselves out to be. So here we are. We're here at that point of the horsemen. Like I said, oil prices rising, installations being blown up. Like I said, maybe years fixed, hyperinflation coming. And like they say in war, unintended consequences. This is the things that come out of it. So America looks weak right now. They're trying to come on there every day, like panic. You know, like the Secretary of Defense there, or Secretary of War, they call him now, Hegseth, and panic, and like, no, we're winning, not anybody that says it. They're trying to make laws that you can't say they're not winning. All this crazy kind of stuff. And you know what? When you're the best, you don't have to say it. When you're winning, you don't have to say it. The proof is evident, and they're not. They're not. So they thought they were going to go in there like Venezuela in a couple of days, and here we are going into the fourth week, and there's no end in sight. And for Israel, this is really bad. Because like I said, beside when this thing is over, and they're going to claim, believe me, they will claim victory. Trump will claim victory. He's just going to say one day, and it could be in 2 days. Who knows? It could be in 2 days, a week. It's not going to go on very, very long. A couple of weeks, who knows? But when it does, he's just going to say it's over. And that is not going to stop it. Because what he has unleashed here is not going back into the bottle. And the same with Israel. They're going to come out and say, we are so much safer. Now Iran is 20 years away from making a bomb, which I thought they said that a couple of months ago. And we destroyed all their ballistic, and it's not. It's not going to be. They will be so much less safe now, because all of the Middle Eastern countries now are against them, just like scripture says. So they basically are setting up a self-fulfilled prophecy, which we'll talk about a little later, that they're trying to do. They're actually trying to set up a self-fulfilled prophecy. So the food chain is going to be problems. U.S. is also using up much of its tactical weaponry. So when you look at Iron Dome and these different things, which are not working anyway, right? They are stopping some. They're probably stopping 60% of the missiles, but they're not stopping most of the missiles because of the way that these new missiles are and these cluster bombs and these other things. Some of the missiles go in different sites. But they're using up the amount of money that it costs, the millions and millions of dollars that it costs for one missile, you know, one missile of Iron Dome. And they can only make around a dozen of them a year. You can't make a lot of those missiles. They take a long time to make. America is using up a lot of its strategic weaponry that they could need in case they ever did go to war with Russia and China. Believe me, Russia and China are watching here. And according to prophecy, Russia is going to be next. So they're watching very close. And they're being weakened to the point of being able to be beat. You know, America has nuclear weapons. They have some amazing weapons, but with using their tactical weaponry, they're using a lot of their weapons that show when missiles are coming or when missiles are set off and different things like that. So they really are weakening themselves. And the global powers are using Trump, you know, so it's not like the New World Order, Trump is going against them. Trump is a puppet of them right now, and everybody knows it. Whatever they have on him, probably part of it is dealing with Epstein, maybe other stuff that's going to come out one way or the other. But they are using Trump to basically weaken America. All of the rules that were there before, as we're going to see, of rules of engagement, rules of war, and you know, rules of this global government since 1945 are all done, which means whoever is this new leader, it's not going to be Trump. Trump is only the patsy here. But the anti-messiah who's going to come is going to be able to do basically whatever he wants to do. Trump, that's the scary part now. That Trump has torn down all of that. Actually, on behalf of the New World Order and what comes next is going to be worse. He's, like I said, he's lost most of his support or much of his support from his base and also even our allies. You know, if you notice, there's not one European ally that has agreed to fight with America from this. So now let's go to Daniel 8, because Daniel 8 is the chapter that really is being fulfilled here, as we're going to see. We went over this before. I've talked about this for 20 years, so this is not something new. You could look at some of the messages I've given on the Bible studies on Daniel 8, and you'll see that I'm saying the same thing. Just now we have a little bit more precise of what's happening from it. But it is an amazing chapter. Why? Why are most ministers and why are most people not talking about Daniel 8? Because they don't understand America being Babylon. If you can't see that at this point, Babylon is the number one military in the world, the number one economic power in the world, the hammer of the earth, the most pleasure-seeking nation. I mean, there's 100 characteristics and America fits every single one of them. And at this point, if you can't see it, then I'm sorry, you're just blind. You don't have eyes to see. And without understanding who America is in Bible prophecy, you won't understand anything else that's going on. And a lot of ministers have said, wow, you know, America, there's no other nation for the last 100 years that has been more pivotal in the world than America. There's no way that if the Bible is talking about end time events and they're mentioning Damascus and they mention Iraq, and they mention Russia and China and these other nations, that they're not going to mention United States. United States of Babylon. So the key is to understanding that. When you understand that America is Babylon, all the other scriptures fall in. So Daniel chapter 8, starting in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. So here it is. The book, it's a very interesting book, the book of Daniel. Part of it is written in Aramaic. From here, though, from chapter 8 and on, because this is all going into end time things, it's all written in Hebrew once again. And the other thing that's kind of interesting is, although it's, I don't know why this is, but although this is chapter 8, what's happening here is actually should be before chapter 5. Because chapter 5 is when Belshazzar is, you know, basically taken out, you know, the handwriting on the wall. And this is here in chapter 8. I'm not sure why, but it is. But that's the point of it, that's where it's at. So let's look at verse 2. And I looked in the vision, and it happened when I looked that I was at Shushan, the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And in the vision I looked, and I was by the Ulai Canal. It's the country of Iran. So this is happening in Iran. There's no doubt about it. Nobody doubts that. It's happening there. And in verse 3, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a ram was standing before the canal, having two horns. And the two horns were high, but the one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. So here it is, Media and Persia, or indicative of these two horns of the ram. We'll talk about that later, but it is Iran. There's no doubt about it. I've been saying this for 20 years. We'll get into more on this later on Media and Persia as we get down in here. But without a shadow of a doubt, they're talking about Iran here. And I saw the ram budding westward and northward and southward, so that no beast could stand before him and none can deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And Iran has become a great nation, actually a great nation for the last 2,500 years. Iran has been a great nation, a mighty nation in that sense. In recent times, they have become very mighty militarily, very mighty in oil, very mighty in economics, and very mighty in a lot of things. But what's interesting here is they're not going eastward, right? Because what's east of Iran is, basically India and, these other countries, Philippines and Thailand and Indonesia and these things. So they're not going that way. That's, all the Asian type people that are over there. But where are they going? They're going north and south and west. And when you look at Iran, they call them Iran's proxies. Who are they? Yemen. The Yemenite people have been bombing Israel for the last 2 years. You look at Hezbollah in Lebanon, same thing. Right now, they are part of this war. You look at Syria, where they also had a lot of influence over there. And Hamas to the west. Hamas, actually right in Israel, where Hamas also being a proxy of Iran. So we're seeing that this prophecy here is very, very precise and clearly here for what we're going through right now. And then what happens we see in verse 5. Pretty interesting, right? Verse 5. I was considering, right? So Daniel's here thinking, what does this mean? And behold, Hene, right? A male of the goats came from the west over the face of the earth and did not touch the ground. And the he-goat had an outstanding horn between his eyes. So who is this? This is Babylon. And we'll show this in a minute without a shout. It's Babylon. But what I find interesting is, he says he's considering in a male of the goats, right? Now, there's goats in the Bible many times, but this is like a special goat, right? This is a special goat that's, outstanding. He's got this outstanding horn, and it's for his military prowess. But I was thinking, isn't it kind of interesting what the acronym for the word goat is? The acronym for the word goat is greatest of all time. They talk about this like with sports players and whatever. Oh, he's the goat. And here it is, Babylon is the goat. Babylon is the greatest of all time of military and economic and everything they've done. America, there has never been a country in the world in 6,000 years that has done what America's done, that has the technology that America's created, that has the military problems that America has, the economic things, this world economy that they've had. So I find it kind of interesting that, Babylon here is called the goat, the greatest of all time, when really they are. The other thing that's really interesting, I've said this in other messages, they're coming from the west, right, which they do, and yet they did not touch the ground. Now, whether it was the attacking in June, where they attacked the military sites, or now, where they're just attacking everything, can you imagine? They're attacking now for 3 weeks everywhere. There's thousands, I think they said 15,000 things that they've attacked in Iran. Iran's a pretty big country. But it's all been by air military power. There has been no boots on the ground, which you might be getting soon. We'll see, that which is going to really be a bad situation if that happens. And unfortunately, we've already had soldiers killed, but there'll be many more if boots are coming on the ground there. But you haven't seen it yet. What you've seen up to this point is where all the great might and has been happening is from the air power. And even refueling, because they don't have enough fuel in the planes, they have to refuel in the air. They're not even refueling somewhere on the ground. And that's actually caused some problems, as we know, that some of the planes have went down, some of the refueling planes. But here it is, exactly what's happening. So the Bible is giving us exactly what we are seeing today is Bible prophecy. And then look at verse 6, it even gets more powerful. It says, and he came to the ram with two horns, which I had seen standing before the canal, right? So we're talking about Babylon, you know, which I'll show you here in a minute as we get into the scriptures on when they're showing who it is, but it definitely is Babylon. Babylon is attacking Iran, right? And it says, and he ran into it in the fury of his power. He ran into it, right? This military contest from verse 5 and verse 4. The military contest that Babylon is doing on Iran, out of nowhere, they said he runs into it with the fury of his power. Do you know what America is calling? Because every military contest is called something. They make a name for it. Do you know what the name of this war is? Epic Fury. Epic Fury. So here Yahweh says that Babylon runs into Iran with the fury of his power. And what is America calling this war? Epic Fury. The name, even the name is the same. So wow, tell me that this isn't prophecy being fulfilled and that Yahweh doesn't know the end from the beginning. I mean, he in, also what he does is he names the king, you know, in Isaiah, a king of Persia, you know, that allowed the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple, named his name 240 years before the guy was even born, right? King Cyrus. So Yahweh knows the end from the beginning. And here, did America know these scriptures? I doubt it, but they're calling it epic fury. And he says, Babylon runs into it with the epic fury of his power. The fury of his power. Wow, unbelievable. Verse 7, we see again. And I saw him touched beside the ram, and he was moved with anger against him. Well, I, you know, like, this is not just war. This seems something personal. And what Iran ever did to America, don't ask me. I mean, Iran is not the greatest nation. There's terrorism that's come from there. But boy, I can think of China is a much bigger threat to America today than Iran, and they make it sound like China is their best friend. And here it is. There is just such hatred and like anger against Iran when Iran didn't bomb anybody. You know, Iran was bombed in June, and Iran was bombed now. But, you know, Babylon, you know, goes, saw they touched beside the ram, and he's moved with anger against him, and he struck the ram and shattered his two horns. We're seeing that happening. They are totally annihilating them. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. And we are seeing that, right? President Trump is admitting they annihilated their Navy. They annihilated their Air Force. Yet they still have missiles that are doing a lot of damage. And all they have to do, all Iran has to do is survive. And they won. That's all they have to do. They just have to make this go longer and longer because they will destroy the world economy. And by destroying the world economy, you destroyed Babylon. You destroyed that, which has actually been being destroyed and now is on its last leg, the petrodollar, all that is done with now, you know, where oil will not be sold in petrodollars and a lot of other stuff that we'll talk about that's coming out of this. But like it says, the ram shattered the two horns and there was no power left in the ram to stand before him, and he threw him down to the ground and trampled him, and no one could deliver the ram from his hand, right? Is China or Russia or anybody else, North Korea, Pakistan, is anyone coming to Iran's defense? No, nobody is. So because this is basically, I guess maybe it's just even to fulfill prophecy, I don't know. Because why this hatred, why this fury, why this wanting to just destroy Iran, except that it says it in prophecy. So here they are, and they're not going to completely destroy them. It won't happen. They're a gigantic nation. There's 92 million people there. You know, and they'll move on from here, but in doing so, they're destroying themselves. Everything that is kept America the strongest nation for the last 80 years is being destroyed as this keeps going on here. And like I said, every day that goes on is going to be big trouble for the world economy, which was going to have trouble anyway. Take this war out this spring. I've been saying this for the last 6 months or so because I'm reading it and I'm seeing it. Economic problems with real estate and commercial real estate in America, which was going to be a big problem with a lot of banks in America and other things. But this war is going to make it way worse. And with hyperinflation, inflation's already been really high since COVID. There's big trouble that's coming. So let's go now to verse 8 through 10. It says, then the he-goat became very great, right? Which we know Babylon was. And when he was mighty, the great horn was shattered, right? His great air power, the great power of his might, his military might is shattered. And in its place came up four notable ones toward the four winds of the heavens, right? This is world government. Four is a world number. And out of one of them came a little horn, the anti-messiah, which became very great toward the south and toward the east and toward the bountiful land, toward Israel. And that's another problem. Israel is, I mean, it's been prophesied and we know it since Israel became a nation. They've been hated. They haven't been liked, but nothing like we see today. And the world will blame Israel. And when the whole world is going to suffer and the whole world economy is going to crash because of this and because there's going to be famine and shortages and wars all over the place, Israel's going to get the blame. And actually, in one way, they deserve it. And they are the ones that started this war. They wanted this war. Like I said, Prime Minister Netanyahu, whether he's blackmailing President Trump or whatever, he did push President Trump to do this, you know, but they shouldn't get all the blame, but they are going to get the blame. Unfortunately, it's going to work out that way. So the little horn toward became great toward the south, the east, the bountiful land. And it became great even to the host of heaven. So we know that it's Satan and his demons, right, that are controlling this at this point. And it caused some of the host of the stars to fall to the ground and trample them. We're talking about war in heaven and demons that are coming out. So we see that Trump is destroying the old rules-based order. And I believe they're allowing him to do it because to bring in the new order they're looking for. And it will lead to the anti-messiah to appear and a new order that's going to be way worse than the one they had. And the one they had actually wasn't so good. But that's what's coming here. So Revelation 12. Now let's look at this happening in Revelation 12. In verse 4, and his tail, talking about the dragon, drew a third part of the stars of the heaven and throws them to the earth, right? So we see that a third of the cherubs went with Satan against Yahweh and threw this to the earth. And now in the end time, go down to verse 7, we see the same thing. We see war happening in heaven. And war occurred in heaven, Michael and his cherubs making war against the dragon, and the dragon and his cherubs making war. And they did not have strength, nor yet was place found in them in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent being called the devil. So no doubt who he is. Some people say the serpent in Genesis wasn't the devil. Of course he is. And Satan. So whether you want to call him the serpent, the devil, or Satan, it's the same character. He, deceiving the whole inhabitable world, was cast out onto the earth, and his messengers, his demons, were cast out with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven which said, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the dominion of his Messiah, because the accuser of our brethren is cast out, the one who accuses them day and night before Elohim. And they overcame, I'll go a little bit further. And they overcame him because the blood of the Lamb and because the word of their testimony, and they did not love their soul even until death, right? Their life in this world wasn't what's important. Their life, what's important, is their eternal life. Because of this, be glad, the heavens and those dwelling in them. Woe to the ones dwelling on the earth and in the sea, because the devil came down to you having great anger, knowing that his time is short. And this is what this is setting up. This war that we're reading about in Daniel 8, you know, epic fury, the great war with the fury of Babylon coming against Persia, Iran, is going to lead to this, because it's going to completely destroy the world order. And as we're going to see next, it's going to be the Medes, which are the Russians, that they're going to come after. And we're going to see total chaos. And out of that chaos is going to be the little horn, the anti-messiah, who's going to bring in a horrible, horrible system. And remember, Babylon is the head of gold. So up to now, even in the worst parts of the world, you know, we just came from some of the poorest areas like India. Everybody still has a smartphone. Everybody still, has a lot of these things, internet and all these things. We're going from gold to silver to bronze to iron. So the world economy is going to be down. It is going to be a rat race. 25% of the people in the world are going to die in this war that's coming. So it's going to bring all kinds of other problems that are coming there. But Satan is coming to Earth to take over the global order, as we see from this. That's going to be one of the repercussions from this. So back to Daniel 8 and verse 11, and what happens at that point when Satan comes and does this. He says, yea, he magnified himself even to the leader of the host, talking about Satan magnifying himself up to Elohim. And the continual sacrifice was taken away by him, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, right? So people look at this and they're thinking the killing of a lamb is going to be taken away. That's not the continual sacrifice, as we'll show you in a minute. And a massive army was given him against the continual sacrifice because of sin, right? And he threw the truth down to the ground, and it worked and pushed forward. So what we see here is that... let me keep going here, a couple more verses, verse 13 and 14. Then I heard a certain holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that one who spoke, until when is the vision, the continual sacrifice, and the devastating rebellious revolt to give both the sanctuary and the massive crowd to be trampled? And he said to me, for 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary will be made righteous. So we know that there was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice, two sacrifices a day. So 2,300 sacrifices would be 1,150 days, which is just about a little less than 3.5 years. It's about 3 years and a couple of months from there. So we see that Yahweh is going to take away the daily sacrifice, not the killing of a lamb. That stopped 2,000 years ago with Yeshua's death and resurrection. It was a shadow toward him being the Lamb of Yah. But now the daily sacrifice is Yeshua's sacrifice. It's his grace. Like Yahweh's word says, you know, the rain comes on the righteous and the unrighteous, and you could be the most unrighteous person in the world, but Yahweh gives opportunity for you to repent. The thief on the tree of crucifixion, right? He's on the tree of crucifixion and Yeshua forgave him, which shows there's never a point where you can't ask for forgiveness and Yahweh won't forgive you. But that is what the daily sacrifice is today. It's Yeshua's sacrifice. Let's go to Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. It says, for the Levitical law had in it a shadow of good things to come, but not the substance of those things themselves. Appearing year by year with the same sacrifices which they offer continually, they never are able to perfect those who offer them. Otherwise, if they had once been perfected, they would have ceased to be offered. For from henceforth their minds would not have been driven them into the sins in which they had been cleansed. But in those sacrifices they remembered their sins year by year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the penalty of sins. Of course not. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. The blood of an animal is not equal with the blood of a human. So he's saying it was only a reminder, that whole system, and that's why the system fulfilled what it needed to do. But now the daily sacrifice is Yeshua's sacrifice in our life. So let's continue, or in any believer's life. Verse 10, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once and for all. It doesn't have to be done. He doesn't have to die every day. His sacrifice was once and for all and continues to be the daily sacrifice. And indeed, every priest stands day by day ministering and often offering the same sacrifices, which can never take away the penalty of sins. But he, Yeshua, offering but one sacrifice for sin, sat down in perpetuity at the right hand of Yahweh, from then on expecting until his enemies are placed as a footstool under his feet. For by one offering he has perfected in perpetuity the ones being sanctified. By one offering, right? That is the continual sacrifice, the daily sacrifice in verse 18. But where remission of these is, there is no longer offering concerning sins. You don't have to kill. That's why you don't kill a lamb at Passover anymore, because his sacrifice is ongoing. But that's why Yahweh's grace, like I said, it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And Yahweh's grace has been on this earth since, you know, Yeshua's death and resurrection. And because even like someone like the Apostle Paul, somebody that was abominable and evil, could come to faith, right? And come to faith and change his ways. But during this time, and this is why, like it says in the end, virtually nobody will be saved. Most of them are going to die. Because at this time, because of sin and evilness, and we're seeing this, you know, we're seeing this in the world, that the abuse of children, the coldness, the arrogance, the pride, you know, I'm not going to go to Timothy again, which we always read, the love of self, the love of money. We have never seen a society that is as evil and immoral as you see today. And that's why they want to completely do away with the Bible, so that there is no code to morality. Because when you take the Bible away, what is that code to morality? So, what Yahweh does is, when this happened, and here it is, it's already started, the war is already coming. So, the war with Babylon in Persia, which means this other stuff can't be far away, with the war in heaven, Satan coming down, and the daily sacrifice will be taken away. That for this time, the 1,150 days, Yahweh's grace is taken from the earth, and look out. And that's when his wrath is going to come. His wrath is going to come over all the earth. So, wow, we're heading into those times. Let's go back to Daniel 8, and now we'll see as it tells the meaning of what we read, right? Because let the Bible interpret the Bible. But it's so clear. It's so clear now because we're living it and we're seeing it with our eyes. There's no way to really misinterpret it. Verse 15 through 17. And it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision, then I sought the meaning, and behold, the form of a man stood before me. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, and he called and said, Gabriel, make this one understand the vision, right? So now we even see the two witnesses, Mikhail and Gabriel here, that will be coming very shortly, right, to do their job. And he came beside my place, and when he came, I feared and fell on my face. And he said to me, O son of man, understand, for the vision is for the time of the end, right? It's not about Alexander the Great and all this other stuff with his. It's just not. The vision is for the time of the end. Here we are in the time of the end. And what I'm reading you, I don't have to try to tell you, because we're seeing it in the news. We're seeing this happening with epic fury, and the fury of the power, like it says, of Babylon coming against Iran, Persia. So it is for the end times. Daniel 12 and verse 9, same thing as we see, Daniel 12 and verse 9. And he said, go, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the end time, until the end time. This is a book for the end time. And it says, I don't have the time right now, but there's other scriptures in Daniel that say the same thing. It's a book for the end. And sometimes, because you know, they don't want you to know that these things are for the end time, they try to change the words and say for a future date or something they put in. But literally, it's for the end time. The latter days are the end time. And this is what it's talking about. Verse 18 and 19. And while he was speaking with me, I lay stunned and was on my face toward the ground. And he touched me and made me stand. So was Daniel maybe seeing? Was he actually seeing some of the weaponry that America and Israel is using against Iran? Maybe. And maybe he was just shocked. And he said, behold, I will make you know what will happen in the last end of the indignation, the end time. For it is for the appointed time for the end. Right? Again, right here. No way to misunderstand it. This is end time stuff, and we are living it. We are seeing it. Verse 20. The ram which you saw with two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. Like we said, Media and Persia. So it is very clear. Media, if you look on an ancient media map, you'll see it's the areas that were part of Russia configuration. And they will be next in this. And the Media and Persia. And Persia, of course, is Iran. Verse 21. And the shaggy goat is the king of Greece. Right? Interesting. Greece maybe being world government, because Greece was a world government. And the great horn between his eyes is the first king, right? Who is the first king of these four kings? The first king is Babylon. Let me read it to you so you could see. Daniel 2, verse 36 through 38. Daniel 2, verse 36 through 38. This is the dream, and we will tell you the meaning of it before the king. O king, you are the king of kings. He is the goat. He is the greatest of all time. There's nobody else been like him, right? He is the goat. He is the king of kings. For the Elo of heaven has given you the kingdom, the power, and the strength, and the honor. None has been like America, Babylon. And wherever the sons of men, the animals of the field, and the birds of the sky dwell, he has given them into your hand and has made you rule over all of them. You are the head of gold, Babylon, in America. Nobody else is ruling the world the way America is. And I mean, they are the hammer of the earth, like it talks about in Jeremiah 15, verse 23. It's just a fact. Nobody can deny that. Matter of fact, in Revelation 18, where it mentions, you know, the whatever it is, the 25 or 30 things that Babylon trades, you can only trade them on the American commodity exchange. And America trades more of them in one day than the world put together. So here it is. There's no doubt. The first king is Babylon. It's America. So very, very clear here. The great horn between his eyes is the first king. So the shaggy goat is the king of Greece. Like I said, in the past, I've thought, could it be indicative of the EU? You know, possibly, maybe when it comes to them fighting Russia, which is going to be next, because this is not over. It's not going to be over with Iran. But world government, basically. World government and possibly EU when it comes to Russia, because even though the EU is not coming with Babylon now, if they go to fight Russia, the EU will come. And it's coming close because Russia, if you're looking in the news, they're basically done with Ukraine and NATO is next. You know, the war with NATO, which is basically EU and Babylon, America. So that is coming next, but that's for another day as we're running short on time here. But it's coming. You know, media will be the second one that comes after Persia. And again, I don't believe Persia will be completely destroyed. I believe what's going to happen is, and like I said, your guess is as good as mine. It might be in 2 or 3 days. It might be 2 or 3 weeks. But President Trump will just come out and say, it's over. We won. We annihilated them just like he did before. You know, there's not, they don't have a gun. They don't have that. They are totally annihilated. It's over. And that's it. And it won't be. As you're going to see, because they already said now, because Israel and America passed a real red line with assassinating the leaders of Iran, which was not a good move. It actually is working against them, assassinating the leaders, because they have a system where another leader just pops in. But now what they did is open up for, you know, political and military and international assassinations of leaders, which was always against, you know, the rules of engagement and rules of war. But now there are no rules anymore. So now you're going to see, like I said, poor politician or somebody taking a vacation somewhere and being blown up and killed. The same way we're seeing synagogues in Australia attacked, and you're going to see a lot more because they've destroyed the basic rules of order, which is not going to work in their favor in the long run. Okay, let's continue here now in verse 22. He says, And as for that which was shattered, and four stood up in its place, four kingdoms will stand out of the nation, but not in its power, right? We see that it's going to basically be there where once Babylon goes, the world leader, it'll be four, you know, leaders from the east, the west, the north, and the south. And this is all set up already. They already have all these things set up. They already have regions of the world and who's going to be running them. So this is nothing new. And the interesting part is, one of the only regions that was not really going along with this was Iran. So another reason for the world powers to want to get Iran out of the way to bring, this stuff into play. When Babylon falls, the fourth beast will rise with the anti-Messiah. But like I said, the world will not be like it is now. They're going from gold to silver, from silver to bronze, from bronze to iron. Verse 23 and verse 24. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the apostasy has been complete, a king strong of face and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, the anti-Messiah. And his power will be mighty, but not by his own power, right? It's going to be a demon, literally, that's possessing this man. And he shall destroy wondrously, and he shall prosper and work and destroy the powerful and the holy people, right? So this is bad. Who is he coming after? Israel, right? Who is he coming after? Israel. And Turkey is a big player. We didn't talk much about Turkey today, but this could even be coming from also Turkey, you know, because he'll be a player that's in this as time goes on. Maybe in the war with Russia that comes with China, but the war that takes down Babylon. But it is not going to be good because Israel is weakening themselves. They are really, really getting a lot of hits with a lot of their military as well as infrastructure. They're not a big country. They're about the size of New Jersey. And the anti-Messiah is going to come after them. So this is setting that all up, weakening them to that point of this happening. The whole world is already blaming Israel, but it's going to get worse because as this economic crisis worsens, and you got to blame somebody, they're going to be blaming Israel. There was no imminent threat. There was no reason to go and attack Iran. You did this. You caused this. And they're going to be the problem. And President Trump is actually blaming them already. He's saying it was their fault. I didn't want to do it, right? So we're already seeing this. Now, the other thing that's really interesting that I want to bring up just for a couple minutes here is that some people in the Israeli government and some of the religious in Israel believe in something that's called the Greater Israel Project. And if you watched an interview that was on air from a few weeks ago with the America Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, with Tucker Carlson, who was a really interesting interview, because Mike Huckabee believes in this. And he was basically saying, you know, it would be fine with him if Israel took over the whole Middle East from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean. And while did that bring up a lot of problems with some of the Arab countries in that region there? And you know what? That is going to happen. We don't have to wish it. We don't have to go to war. It's going to happen when Yeshua returns. We know it. We know that's going to happen. But with the Greater Israel Project, they don't believe in Yeshua. They hate Yeshua. This has nothing to do with Yahweh's kingdom coming to the earth. They want to do it now in a physical way. They want to use the Israeli military and the IDF to do this, to overtake basically the whole Middle East and control it. And wow, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing because it's actually another counterfeit by Satan, right? It's a counterfeit by Satan. He's using the Bible prophecy of something that will happen after Yeshua returns and Yahweh's kingdom comes to the earth to try to say that that is happening now and to cause world war and things that are actually going to bring in Israel's demise because these nations are going to come against them and they won't be able to win, as we know. We know from Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, Zechariah 13. We know it's that Israel's not going to win in that war. And we know 2/3 of the people there are going to suffer and die. So this Greater Israel Project is not a good thing. It's a perversion of prophecy. And basically, like I said, if Yahweh's going to do something, you know, he'll do it. We don't have to get involved and militarily take up guns and try to kill people. But they want a kingdom without a king, and that's not going to happen. They're playing into Satan's hands. Daniel 8 and verse 25, he says, "And also through his policy, he will make deceit succeed in his hand, and he will lift up in his heart, and by peace," this is again talking about the anti-Messiah, "by peace he will destroy many. He shall also stand against the prince of princes," Yeshua, "but he shall be shattered without a hand." We know that Daniel 2:44, I'm not going to read that, but that's there. So the anti-Messiah is not going to win, right? And like I said, from Revelation 6, you know, he will bring in this false peace, you know, so I do not negate the fact that the anti-Messiah also will fulfill that scripture, but right now it's hard to say in what we're living that President Trump is also, at least in type, not fulfilling that scripture. So we see it. We see that the anti-Messiah is going to bring deceit. He's going to bring all these things. Yahweh was going to allow him for almost 3.5 years to control things, but Yeshua will return, and then the day of Yahweh will come in his wrath and destroy all these things. So I just want to go into a couple more scriptures here very quickly in Isaiah 21, because Isaiah 21 also talks about this. And Daniel was very sick from the vision, right? He, from what he was seeing, like I said, I don't know if he was physically seeing these things, but in that day, if he did, boy, of course that would make him sick. But Isaiah 21, 2 and 3 says, "A horse vision is revealed to me." This is now from Isaiah. "The deceiver betrays and the plunderer plunders. Go up, O Elam. Besiege, O Media. I have caused all her sighing to cease. Because of this, my loins are filled with pain. Pains have taken hold of me like the pains of a travailing woman. I am bowed from hearing. I am troubled from seeing." So, wow. So Daniel now is seeing the same thing. Isaiah is seeing the same thing that Daniel saw. And he's also, you know, very sick to his stomach from seeing this. Then we go down to verse 9. What is this? "And behold, here comes a chariot of a man, a pair of horses," right? "And he answered and said, Babylon has fallen, right? Because there's two falls to Babylon, the military, where they basically lose their power, and then at the end when Yahweh destroys them by natural causes. He has smashed the graven images of her gods to the earth. Wow. So Babylon's fallen here. The same thing we're seeing in Daniel 8 is happening over here. Verse 10 to verse 12. Oh, my threshing and the grain of my floor, that which I have heard of Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, I have told you. I gave this message at Sukkot, where Yahweh is starting to separate the wheat from the chaff, and this is part of it. This is part of it. And you better get on the right side of that, because if you're not, you're in trouble. Your eternal life is at stake. And that's why I said this Passover is extremely important Passover. This is the pivotal turning point. Next Passover is probably even going to be more important, because that could be the beginning of, you know, the end of this time frame. This is the pivotal point this year. And then we could be going into that. So verse 10 through 12. Oh, my threshing, the grain of my floor, Yahweh separating the wheat from the chaff. Then verse 11, the burden of Duma. He calls to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? Where's Mount Seir? It's in Jordan. So where is the watchman being called? The watchman is being called, well, he's in Jordan. He's not during all this horror that's going on in Israel, but he's over there in Jordan protected. The watchman says, the morning comes and also night. If you would inquire, inquire, come return. Wow. So I do believe I am one of those watchmen Yahweh has, and that's why I'm giving you this message, so that you can be preparing. You know, we only have a little over a week left until Passover coming. This is a really serious Passover, and we really need to start thinking, you know, because we don't want the daily sacrifice coming out of our life. And I do want to say, even though Yahweh is going to take his grace away from the earth, he's never going to take it away from his people. So we aren't going to lose his grace, but what's going to happen, there is going to be great martyrism at that time, the fifth seal, but Yahweh's grace is always going to be in our life. But to the world, it will not be there. So we know from Jeremiah 51, Babylon is going to be destroyed. There's no doubt about that. Maybe I'll just read a couple of verses there very quickly. Jeremiah 51. And I believe, like I said, this is leading to it. This war is weakening. Even though America is going to win the war and they're going to hit them, you know, 50,000 missiles or whatever, they're really not going to win. It's not how many missiles. They're weakening themselves and for no reason. Iran was not an imminent threat. There was no reason they were contained, and there was no reason to do this at this point. Jeremiah 51, 1 and 2. So says Yahweh, behold, I am arousing a destroying wind against Babylon, and against those dwelling in the heart of my foes. And I will send foreigners to Babylon who will sift her and shall empty her land. For the day of evil they shall be against her all around. And we know it's not just one country. It's a multitude of countries coming from the north who's going to come and attack and destroy Babylon. Verse 6. Flee from the midst of Babylon, yea, each man deliver his soul. Do not be silenced in her iniquity, for it is the time of the vengeance of Yahweh. He will give her a just recompense. He will repay her. Babylon was a golden cup in the hand of Yahweh, making all the earth drunk, right? It was a golden cup. It had some value. America brought more Bibles and missionaries all over the world, but now they've turned into nothing but, you know, what Babylon has turned into. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. That's why we're seeing this. Commercial Babylon is all over the earth now. Doesn't matter where it is. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and is broken. Wail for her, take balm for her pain, if perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, each one to his own country. For her judgment reaches up to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. And verse 11. Purify the arrows, fill the shields. Yahweh has aroused the spirit of the king of the Medes, right? Russia. For his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of his sanctuary, right? The people of Yahweh were destroyed there. You know, when we look, when the pilgrims, Yahweh's work from the 1600s, the Anabaptists coming there, it was the headquarters, and now it's basically a night crew. There's still brethren there, of course, but not many, not the way it was even 50 years ago. So we're seeing this. We're seeing that this is why Yahweh's judgment is coming on Babylon, and they are going to get their recompense. Don't believe when Trump claims the war is over, like I said. It's not going to be a negotiated thing or whatever. He's just going to claim it and then say, it's over, we finished, we destroyed them all. Everything go back to normal, but it's not going to happen. Don't fall for it. Every day this war goes on is bringing the reality of Scripture closer and closer and making the long-term repercussions of it much worse. We are getting soon to a point of no return, with both U.S. and Israel, which has taken great damage in the last war and much more now. Time to seriously prepare for Passover. That's just a little over a week away. Remember, the Revelation 12 sign has already happened. We are close. Prophecy is being fulfilled. So I pray this will help you to understand more what's going on. And may Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.